Lord, this morning as we just come into your house, we just want to pause and say thank you for the country that we live in. Because we have Veterans Day just a couple days away today, we just want to remember America. We want to remember those that have fought for us, those that are active military and the veterans as well. And we just want to say thank you for them. And God, I pray for this service. I pray that everything we do would just draw people closer to you. And we thank you for Christ and how he came and died on the cross for our sins. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Thank you so much. Certainly has blessed America, and we get to be a part of that, live here in America every single day. And we want to say thank you so much for coming to church this morning. If you are a guest with us, when you came in, one of the ushers back there gave you a bulletin, and attached to that bulletin is just a connection card. And we would just ask you if you could just fill it out with any information you feel comfortable sharing. Then at the end of the service, we'll receive an offering. And if you would just like to drop that in the offering plate, it's just so we know that you came to church and have a record of your attendance. Also, if you're a guest with us out in the lobby, you may have noticed the blue gift bags out there. These are for you. And there's some goodies in there for you. And if you haven't gotten one yet, let me encourage you on your way out later today to grab a gift bag, and I think you'll enjoy some of the contents in there. But we're so glad everybody's at church this morning, and I'm just thankful for those that have served our country, and we're going to recognize you in just a few minutes later on in our service. But welcome to church once again this morning. Let's all stand up and greet one another and welcome each other to God's house.
Thank you. we find our seats, we'll sing Psalm 126, My Country, 'Tis of Thee.
Battlefields. And we just wanted to take a moment in our service now, and we just wanted to recognize all of those that are active duty, and all those that are veterans and have served our country. Without you, we could not meet like we're meeting right now. Without you, we would not have the freedom of religion to practice our faith. And we just want to say thank you to each and every one of you, and we want to recognize you. And what we just want to do is we're going to call some of the different branches of service. And if your branch is called, if you'll just stand up and then we'll applaud you, and then you can sit down and we'll go into the next branch. So if you have, if you're currently serving or you are a veteran of the Army, would you please stand up? Thank you for your... Thank you. Thank you. If you are currently serving or a veteran of the Marines, would you please stand up? Any Marines in here? Of the Coast Guard, would you please stand? No Coast Guard. Of the Navy, would you please stand? And then of the Air Force, if you are currently or you're a veteran of the Air Force, would you please stand up? Thank you for serving our country. Here at Calvary Baptist Church, we appreciate you. We appreciate what you've done. We don't take what you've done lightly in your service for our country and your service for our freedom, so we can have the freedom to worship and to practice our faith. And we just want to take this time just to say thank you for all that you've done for our country. At this time, Vanessa's going to come up here, and we're going to have a special song.
Century ago, two simple words declared a truth that's planted in our hearts. And every time the flag is raised, we've been honored to repeat the phrase, so the world will know we are. Under God, America's been blessed. Under God, bred through every trial and test, we are sheltered by the mercy He chose to give in privilege and abundance. This nation lives under God. Freedom has survived. Shapes the land that we hold dear. Some insist it's not allowed to acknowledge that we need Him now, but it's never been so clear. Trial and test.
Over my ministry for the last nearly 33 years, God has privileged me to serve with military. I do not know how or how that worked. I did not grow up in a military family, but it has been my honor to work with so many great military people. It's great. It's a privilege. It's an honor, and I thank God for it. The difficult part is they come and go. It's sometimes like you're pastoring a parade of people. You know, they come and they go. They come and they go. But it has been a great privilege for me. About 3 years ago, I received an email about this time asking me if I'd be willing to serve as an honorary commander at Travis Air Force Base. I had no idea what that meant. But I know that, you know, it was something that I might be interested in doing. And then they invited me to come, and I got involved in that program. It's a program at the base where they would allow someone who was a non-military person to have access to the base 24/7. They're invited to go to special tours where they learn more about military life and the people that they live with or live next to or serve with in community. And then it also enables me to be able to get to know some people. They kind of put you to they assign you to a squadron. And so I'm assigned to the chaplain squadron, so I got to know the chaplains. And through that process...
Make this summer a family adventure. Visit Country Roads RV Center and see how comfortable life on the road can be. Come see us at Country Roads RV Center.
Discover why we are the Carolinas' fastest growing RV dealership.
Bye-bye.
Peace. Two references to God in a poem for Veterans Day brought more than 100 people to this meeting of the McDowell County.
Poor Jenna, I don't know how she put up with you all those years.
Start talking about family payback and be brutal.
We begin tonight.
It was explained to me when Dr. Jerry Martin said that we must remove the words to God from my daughter's.
Two references to
peace.
I don't know if you realize this or not, but we are not in peacetime as a Christian. Peacetime comes when we get to heaven. But then my thoughts this week in preparing and praying over what God would have me to preach on, I wonder what would happen if every Christian refused to stand for God. What would happen if we said, you know, we're not going to do it anymore. We're not going to give anymore. We're not going to attend anymore. We're not going to serve anymore. We're just going to just give it up. Where would the church be? What if military did the same thing? What if they said, we're not going to do it anymore? We're not going to be inconvenienced. We're not going to sacrifice any longer. We're just not going to do that anymore. We're just going to quit. We're just going to give it up and just let be what happens. What if an officer refused to protect his country or protect his community? What if an officer said, you know, I know I had a vow, and I know I was a sworn officer that came into this profession with, you know, to protect and defend and serve this country, but what if they just chose not to anymore? They did not enforce the laws anymore. They did not deal. What would happen to the country that you and I hold near and dear to our hearts? Well, I want to tell you, I'm afraid we're heading that direction. We're heading that direction. Andrew has a couple of videos I want you to watch, because I want you to kind of see what's going on in America right now when it comes to the Christian world. I want you to look at it. I want you to take a real careful view of what's going on in America right now. I don't know if you realize this, but I want you to see it, all right?
Two references to God in a poem for Veterans Day brought more than 100 people to this meeting of the McDowell County School Board. A 6-year-old girl's mother told board members how the superintendent removed those religious references.
It was explained to me when Dr. Jerry Martin said that we must remove the words to God from my daughter's poem because it was a school assembly and because my child was the only one asked to write something about her grandfather's. She also discussed the law pertaining to the separation of church and state.
School board members told us they were only hearing public comments and would not discuss this issue in this session. Renata Crawley is a fifth grade teacher here at West Marion Elementary and said the poem to honor her child's veteran grandfathers was a family project.
Did my daughter write 100% of this poem? No, she did not. But if anyone sitting in this room were to go up to my daughter today and say, "Is this your poem?" she would say, "Yes, this is my poem." And she said to me, "Mama, I don't want to take the words out of the poem."
Crawley says her child recited the poem in the Veterans Day Assembly without using the word God. Pastors spoke out against what some called a violation of the child's freedom of speech and said they were here to support the little girl.
This is a faith-based city county. And I'm sorry, if you are offended by a child 6 years old who wants to speak from her heart and her mind by using God, something is wrong.
Now, we begin tonight in Charles County, Maryland, where a couple is furious with their child's high school.
Make this summer a family adventure. Visit Country Roads RV Center and see how comfortable life on the road.
Argument with the faculty over his child's homework assignment. Tom Fitzgerald is live in La Plata with the story, which is new at 5. Tom.
Well, Tony, Kevin Wood received his ban from the high school in La Plata here today. This all stems from an assignment he objected to that his daughter received, asking her to list the benefits of Islam. Both the school system and the parents are talking tonight about this assignment, and they have very different versions about what happened next.
A lot of people do not understand where my husband is coming from.
Melissa Wood says her husband, Kevin, a U.S. Marine and Iraq veteran, is the most patriotic person she's ever met. But now he is banned from even stepping foot near their daughter's high school. We talked by phone.
I don't force my religious views on them, so don't force your religious views on me.
This all started when their 11th grader came home from La Plata High School with this three-page assignment. It asked for explanations of Islam's five pillars, Mecca and Muhammad. Kevin and Melissa didn't like it. They feel religion should not be taught in public schools and say Islam should not get priority over Judaism or Christianity.
We cannot discuss our Ten Commandments at school, but they can discuss Islam's five pillars.
Kevin went to the school to talk to the vice principal. Things got heated, and Kevin wound up getting slapped with this notice banning him from school property.
He was threatening to cause a disruption or possible disruption at the school. We're not teaching religion. We're teaching world history.
None of these parents knew about it. They didn't tell anybody.
For now, the Woods and school officials are talking about the dispute and hope to come to a resolution. Melissa, the hardest lesson of all has been hearing her husband described as something she says she knows he is not.
They're making him sound like he's some bad person. He's no bad person. He fought for your country.
So what's going on in America? What's happening when the very founding of our country, the founding of our nation was built upon the Bible and Christian principles, and we can't even mention the Ten Commandments. But yet, and in fact, we just ignore Christ altogether as part of history. But yet, now we can recognize Muhammad. And we can recognize all kinds of other things, but if you bring Jesus in the mix, something's wrong. Now we cry out, foul, separation of church and state. I don't know about you, but I'm greatly concerned in America that we are losing our American heritage. But I'm equally as concerned that we are losing our Christian heritage as well in our churches. You know, I'm thankful to God for the great soldiers and service personnel that served this nation of ours, who stood on what they believed. But today, I'm greatly concerned also about the move of the church. Where are Christians today? What's going on with Christianity today? It has been said, he who stands for nothing will fall for anything. Today, in America, Christianity is dying. God has given us a chance, though. It's a place to start. And let me ask you this today, where are you? I mean, I'm just gonna be real honest. Where are you? Where are you in your walk with God? Teens, what are you living for? I think about teenagers today, and they have such young, you know, open lives. But what are you living for, really? You may not be able to answer that question today. But there is something much greater than yourself to live for. We've had too much of living for ourselves in America. We've already bypassed, I hope, the me generation. I don't believe so, but I would like to believe that somehow or another we're getting out of the me generation. There's enough of that already. You know, it's been said that the church is just one generation away from extinction. Think about that. One generation away from extinction. That means that the church that you're sitting in right now today, that it could be that in the next generation, the doors will be closed. There's no church. There's no place to send our children or grandchildren to. There's no place where they can go and hear the Word of God freely. We're just one generation away from extinction. I don't know if that bothers you, but that bothers me greatly. Because as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about the fact that with the move of today and where Christians are today, it may be a big reflection of where we are going, really. I fear that many Christians are going or have already gone AWOL on God. How many have said something to me like this, you know, Pastor, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And I agree with you. But we go to church because we are Christians. But does it strike you a little strange, though, that how the church is in a decline and sin is in an increase? Do you realize the average church in America today is decreasing by 8% a year? And yet sin is on its rise. I mean, it is climbing exponentially out the window. Sin seems to be very common. Sin seems to be acceptable. In fact, no, that, but sin is applauded. Sin is looked upon as if, you know, that's the norm, and what we believe in as Christians, we're abnormal. Churches are suffering financially. Volunteers are all-time low. It used to be that we could say that 10% or 20% of the people are doing all the work. It is now down to about 5% of the people doing all the work. What is happening? What is going on? Do you realize today, though, there's an opportunity to change all that? I don't know about you, but I'm concerned for the next generation. I'm glad that the people that established Calvary Baptist Church in January was celebrating our 60th anniversary. I'm glad that 60 years ago, those people had a vision and a desire to have a church here in Fairfield so that you could go to. I'm thankful to God they were willing to sacrifice maybe a camping trip, or maybe a newer car, or maybe some newer toy. They were willing to give up something to sacrifice so that the next generation can have a place to go to. I'm thankful for military who were willing to say, you know what, our nation's worth it, and I'm willing to sacrifice everything. If it means my life, I'm willing to do that, that I might go to another country to protect the honor and the freedoms of this nation. And right now, I don't know, I didn't happen to look at the recent magazine on the base that comes out, and each week they have a paper that comes out called The Tailwinds, and that tailwinds, it always tells you how many people are deployed. I think I saw 2 weeks ago we had 432 deployed service personnel just from Travis Air Force Base. There are 432 people, more that are in this room, that are somewhere else in some other part of the country defending the freedom, and that's just one base. And I'm paid for that. But I must tell you that I wanted to be 432 people, even the city of Fairfield that would survive that for one Sunday. That we'd be willing to say, you know what, I really believe in Jesus Christ. I really believe in the Bible. I really believe in the truth of God. I really believe in serving Him. I realize how important it really is, because it's so vital to the future of our nation, to our country, and to Christianity altogether, that somebody will be willing to stand for Jesus Christ. Paul's writing to his young protege, and he commands him that he's to take the ministry and give and trust. That we are worthy of it, but we're honored to kind of take what God has given to us and manage it while we have it, and then pass it on to the next, because it's not really ours, it's God's. Look, what you're sitting in this morning is not something just so that our local community would have something to do. We are here because this is God's plan right now. The church is important. However, I must tell you that to carry the responsibility of the trust that God has given to us is not automatic. There must be intentional steps that we choose to make to see our ministry go forward. And I don't mean just Calvary Baptist Church's ministry, but the ministry of Jesus Christ in our world to go forward. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And Paul's writing about this very fact, and I realize this morning that we are recognizing our veterans and active military, and I thank you again from the bottom of my heart, and I know we as a staff feel very, very much filled with gratitude for all the things that you do. But let me also draw your attention to the battlefield of Christianity and that which is very important. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse number 1, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now let me stop here for a moment and be clear what he's talking about. Paul's talking about the ministry. Paul's talking about handing the ministry down to the next generation. But did you notice in verse 2, he qualifies who he handed down to? Faithful men. Faithful men. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm greatly concerned about where are the faithful men? Where are they? I fear that they're at a baseball game, or they're out on a lake somewhere, or in a boat floating around, neglecting the very trust that God wants to give to them. And the Bible says that that's what God's looking for, faithful men. I'm not talking about here again, off again, you know, here and there, maybe, maybe not. They could show up, they may not. I'm talking about people who are really genuinely concerned about the ministry for the future. Paul writes, he goes on, he writes, and here's what he says. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Here, God is calling all of us in this time of spiritual warfare to go from that of being a common Christian to be a committed Christian. Being just kind of the norm. Just the norm. I kind of go to church and I kind of read every now and then. And, you know, I don't really hurt my neighbors and try to get along with everybody, but I don't want to rock the boat. God's calling us out of that to being committed Christian. That's what God is challenging us to do in this passage. I believe that the biggest sin in our church is not that of lust or envy or strife, or lying or cheating or stealing or committing murder, I believe the biggest sin in the church today is that of selfishness. We're just too selfish. That's our problem. Because, you see, committed people have no problem sacrificing. They have no problem saying, you know what, man, I realize how important this is. I want to go from being a common Christian to being a committed Christian. And yes, there are going to be times I have to endure hardness if I'm going to be what God wants me to be. I'm thankful for those who are serving in the military who said the same thing. Who said, you know, I'm willing to serve this nation. I don't want to just be a good patriot. I'm going to go from being a good patriot to a serving patriot. To go beyond the doors or the regions of our nation or whatever the case is. You see, can you imagine if a soldier refused to go when he's called to go by his commanding officer? Suppose he'd say, well, you know, I can't go this Sunday because I'm going to stay and watch a football game. Or, well, I really can't go this week because, you know, honestly, I have 2 weeks in Plain Lake. Or, no, I really can't go this week because I just really want to sleep in. I'm tired. I wonder what would happen then. The picture that Paul's writing here is not about the Christian who was sitting at a big banquet. And he's kind of taking in everything and he just kind of enjoying it. That's not the picture at all. He's not living in luxury, in the lap of luxury, and kind of enjoying everyone taking care of him and all of those kind of things. No, not at all. That's not the picture that Paul's writing about here. He's not writing about the soldier who is at peacetime. He's writing about the gentleman who was willing to say, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to serve God because I realize that there's something at stake here. I realize there's something much bigger, if you would, than just that I have a place to go to. But I'm going to get real serious about the fact that for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Paul goes on, he writes, and he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Look, I must tell you, if we just let everything go, the devil will take over this place. If we just let everything go, we don't stand, the devil's going to get it. But Paul described in this passage three qualities of a soldier. Three qualities of a good soldier. The idea of good is one who's honoring to the Lord. The first, he is disciplined. You ever thought about being disciplined? I mean, this idea of being disciplined is just like an athlete who takes a daily exercise and restrains himself from eating those things that would harm his performance. So it is for the believer that his daily discipline is that he recognizes that he's serving a God and God has laid out guidelines for him in service. He takes it very seriously. That means he's going to have to endure hardness. He's going to have to suffer some afflictions. But then second of all, focus. The image of the soldier here is that of he's single-mindedly devoted. He's going to please, if you would, he's to please Jesus Christ. He who came to this earth 2,000 years ago, he who died for our sins, he who was buried, he that rose again, he that sacrificed the splendors of glory to come to earth, that when we decide that we're going to get serious about being a soldier for Jesus Christ, that our focus is to please him, not ourselves. Soldiers are not allowed to be involved in the entanglements of the civilian world. They can't get distracted because they have a responsibility of focusing primarily on the work that they have to do. And what God is saying is that unfortunately many believers are entangled with the things of this world to the place where they're restricted in their service to God. They tie themselves up on all these different activities and events and all those kind of things. And they have limited what they can do for God. Marshall Foch, a French general in the World War I, said this to a commanding officer: "You must not retire. You must hold at all cost." "Then," said the officer, "that means we must die." The general responded, "Precisely." You see, what we need is some people with that kind of fortitude and commitment to say, you know, for God, I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do. There's no sacrifice too great because of who He is. The third part of a quality of a good soldier is he's focused, or he has a purpose, if you would. His purpose is to always honor the Lord, to honor Him, to please Him. Let me ask you a question. What kind of a soldier are you? What kind of a soldier would God say that you are? I mean, for the sake of the church, for the sake of your family, for the sake of the future generation. A.B. Simpson made an astounding statement. And here's what he said. He said, "The chief danger of the church today is it's trying to get on the same side as the world instead of trying to turn the world upside down." I'll tell you what, I believe we need to turn this world upside down for Jesus Christ. I'm convinced that, you know, that we need to stand, no matter what the stand is, we need to stand on truth of God's holy word. People need to know what the Bible says, and there need be no question about it. And why should we embarrass? Because we serve a Savior that is risen, and that He died for us, and that we know that He's right. See, the truth of the matter is, God's calling us to go from being a common Christian to be a committed Christian. Our call is from the average to the extraordinary. From the ordinary to the extraordinary. The early church, and I love what Leonard Ravenhill said, the early church was married to poverty, prisons, and persecutions. Today, the church is married to prosperity, personality, and popularity. And the reason is because we're not standing like we should. Now, lest you think that somehow or another this is a negative, some type of indicted message, I want to tell you that this is a message that should inspire every one of us to say, you know what? We're going to go from being a common Christian to being a committed Christian. That we're serious about what we believe, and that while we know that things are going on around us, we're at least going to stand for what we believe in, for our families, and for the future generation of those Christians here in America. If you're here today and you're not a soldier, perhaps you're not enlisted. Maybe you haven't enlisted because you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Enlistment comes when, not that you sign your name on the line, but when you enlist, God signs His name on the line in the blood that He shed on the cross. Or maybe you're as a Christian today. Perhaps maybe God is speaking to your heart that maybe you can't allow things to pull you away. Perhaps been lulled to sleep by the world and the things of the world. God's calling us to go from being common to being committed. It's easy to get drawn away. The world has a lot of things to lure us. But let me tell you, God was calling us to come back. He wants us to be serious. I don't know about you, but I'm going to stand on what I believe. And by the way, if a homosexual can stand in the courts and stand say what he believes, I can stand in courts and say what I believe too. If a Muslim can stand and say, you know what, and try to take over a city and conquer a city for Muhammad, I can conquer a city for Jesus Christ. And I'm not backing down from it. And they may put me to jail, they may take my head off, but bless God, I'm going to stand for him because it doesn't matter. I would rather die for him than live for something other than him. By the way, if we're participating in the world's activities during church time, how in the world we ever reach where we want to go routine, their time, their schedules. Well, I tell you, if wonder what it'd be like if Christians really got serious about living for God like Tiger Woods got serious about playing golf. Or like Peyton Manning got serious about playing football. I believe we'd see more people saved. We see more lives reached and changed. We would just see so many things happen in our churches today if we just were real serious. And that involved, by the way, the reason why those guys can do what they do is because they make daily decisions. Tiger Woods makes a decision to go to the golf course and practice every day, go to the driving range and practice every day. Peyton Manning throws footballs every day and practices every day, and he watches what he eats and he does all those things. It involves just that. And Christian, to live for God and be a good soldier, it involves daily choices we make.